Hello? Am I on?
Yes, okay, good. Don't share every single word that comes to mind with us, please. Just encouragements. No, yeah. This is a big moment, and an emotional moment. So I'm going to pray, and then I'll get into preaching. Father, you're good. Your love never fails. You're with us every day, Lord. Thank you, Jesus, that you're alive, you're real. There's none like you. Precious. Thank you that we get to sit under your word every day, Jesus. And you speak every day if only we'll listen. Thank you, Jesus, that even as we sit under your word preached this morning, that you want to speak. God, give us ears to hear, hearts to understand, and the will to do what you are calling us to do this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. So, we have three little children as well. Bates, married to Jen, three little kids. My boy had one of the best days of his life yesterday. He went to watch the Stormers, and I'm trying to tell a story to stop crying, but anyway, it's a cool story. So they're sitting in they got tickets, him and his cousin and my dad, to watch the Stormers play the Bulls, and they're in the box and they're cheering and they're having a jaw. And some dude who they don't know from across the field saw them, and he was so stoked by these little kids that he came and found them afterwards, gave them golden tickets to go on the field and get signatures from the players, which is like, just God's favor over our little boy, which is really, really special and amazing. But he cares about every single detail of our lives, every single one, even stuff we don't know that he knows. And I just wonder what the little prayers in my boy's mind were that may have happened that Jesus heard in this crazy, crazy, cool story happened. Okay, let's push through. So, I'll get there, don't worry, I'll get there. It's like when you're riding on a bike and you're wobbling, eventually you clear up, we'll just go a bit faster. So maybe I should go faster, then we'll get there. So we are concluding our series in habits, called Habits. Oh, there's slides, here we go. Healthy Habits for Spiritual Formation. And another thing, or another way you could say it, is habits that help us grow our faith, or help us grow our trust in God. And every day, whether you know it or not, we are making a whole bunch of decisions, small and big, and the accumulation of those decisions leads to the outcome of our life, if you think of it. And so habits are this wonderful way that we can help guide those decisions in a way that we desire so that we can actually grow in our faith in God. And so these are things we can say yes to each day, almost like building a trellis for a vine to grow up. We can say yes to each day that will help guide those little decisions towards the desired end we have, which is to grow in love for God and in trust for Him, to grow our faith in Him. And so that's why we preach a series like this, to help give encouragements, little ideas, thoughts, ways that we can really build a structure for our lives, or really help us put something or habits in place that ensure that our decisions really head towards where we want them to go, which is growing in our faith in God. And so we've covered a few habits already, and there are many more than we've covered, by the way. These are just a few really helpful handles that we can hold on to. Week one, we looked at the Word and worship and confession. Really, really helpful. We could just stop there. We could do a whole series just on these three for weeks. The second week, we looked at stewardship and guidance and accountability. Really, really helpful practices or habits. And then 2 weeks ago, just before our church-wide multi-day fast and prayer, we looked at fasting and praying. And that was Nathan's favorite week because he loves fasting so much and was encouraged to do it even more. That's a silly joke. Anyone love fasting? Okay, less than 10% of the room, that's what I thought. But the Lord can grow our love for these things, right? And so this morning, we're going to be diving into service and mission. And so really, these habits we build in our lives, spiritual habits, help us to become more like Jesus And one of the things Jesus did was he wasn't just holy, he wasn't just pleasing to God in all his attitudes, his ways, his thoughts, but he actually went out and served others and loved others and did the will of the Father. And so these habits don't just change us on the inside, they lead to outward transformation that actually serves and blesses the world around us. And that's super important because they're not doing what they're supposed to do if that's not happening, by the way. So just a good little indicator or test for ourselves that service and mission flows from a heart that's been formed by Christ. It's been formed in those quiet personal moments. It's been formed in these public gathering moments. It's been formed in crazy situations that happen in your life where you're forced onto your knees before God. In so many ways, these habits help form us into the image and likeness of Christ more and more. And the overflow is service and mission. And here's the big idea this morning. I'm going to be brief because we've got amazing people we're going to be introducing or sharing about their different ministry areas in the life of One Hope. And we're all going to have the opportunity to go and find out more and to sign up and to get involved and to say yes to serving in the life of One Hope. But my big encouragement this morning is that we serve others often. Just three words to remember. Maybe that's all you'll remember. Serve others often. Not because you have to, but because we get to. And the beauty is as we do it, and we'll see in the scripture in just a minute, God empowers us to do it. He says, I will be with you as you go and do my work. He doesn't just leave us alone. So the encouragement this morning is serve others often. And so just a little intro story. Back in 1995, by a show of hands, who was alive in 1995? Okay, overwhelmingly towards this half, it's interesting. Why do all the young people sit on this side? I don't understand, except Drew, of course, who wants to be young. And okay. Thank you for sitting that side. It helps me get out with my kids. Anyway, 1995, 30 years ago, there was a prominent church in the U.S. that was just forming. And this church's leaders came together, I read about this in a book, and they really wanted to build a church that really led to people growing in their trust in God or growing in their faith in God and really being transformed. They wanted it to grow a church that didn't just see more knowledge about God happening, but actually seeing transformation into the image and likeness of God actually happening in their church. And so they really wanted to like create a discipleship model, if you want to call it that, that helped their people believe that God is who he says he is and that he will do what he says he will do. They really believe that and live that out. And so they went about asking, this question should be on the screen, to a bunch of smaller groups in their churches. They're really wanting to explore, how do we do this as a church? How do we build a church that sees this happen? And so they asked this question in your story. No, not that one. Oh, hello. Not that one. Should be looked like a quote. Hopefully it's there somewhere. No, it's not there. Okay, you can just listen to me. In your story, what have been the things that have grown your faith most? What have been the things that have grown your faith most? And so as they heard story after story from person after person, they realized there started being common trends in the lives of all these people that they had heard, story after story, person after person, and they could actually group or categorize these moments or these experiences that are growing these people's faith into about five categories. If you know this, I'm sorry, this is probably boring to you, but maybe many of you haven't read what I've read. I found that quite fascinating, so I thought, okay, let me go and do a little test in One Hope. So some of you have been my test subjects, thank you very much. And different small groups I've been part of and ministry groups I've been part of, asked the same question and just asked people to share three. Particularly since you've come to faith, what have been three really formative, shaping things that have grown your faith that have happened? And it's been fascinating to do that. And so I'm going to quickly give us 30 seconds this morning to think of that for yourself, what the answer would be. Particularly if you're a Christ follower this morning, you love and follow Jesus, since you've started following him, what have been maybe three big things that have happened in your life that have grown your faith most? Okay, take a few seconds to think about that. Okay, now a few things may have jumped to mind immediately. Maybe you're thinking, oh, I have no idea. Well, go and continue this thought experiment when you get home. It's super worth it, and just document a few things that have really stood out for you. Here are three of mine. The one is my brother, my eldest brother. He's 8 years older than me. He introduced me to Jesus, firstly. But one of the things he did is he, very early on, showed me how to read my Bible and how to pray. And that's changed my life ever since. Absolutely, fundamentally changed my life and grown my faith significantly day after day. Second thing that happened is I had a motor vehicle accident when I was 16, just after I'd come to faith in Jesus. I was the driver. One of the guys got very injured, led to a whole legal spiel. And that grew my faith massively. That put me on my knees. I've never prayed so much in my life and seen God at work do a miraculous healing in a person's body. And then thirdly, my gap year, straight after high school, was in Liberia in West Africa on mercy ships, just serving, just giving away time, energy, and effort to go and serve those I'd never met before. And did that for 7 months, and that was deeply, deeply formative and shaping my faith. So these were three big things, and there are many more, but these ones really shaped me. And so you may be wondering, what are these five categories that people's experiences typically fall into? Here they are. They're called the five faith catalysts. Well, that's what this other church called them. I've renamed them a little bit, I think, with names that make more sense to me. Here they are. Practical preaching. Isn't that interesting? Practical preaching. So often people will say it was this message, or someone shared that, and I was able to go do something with it. So we really strive for this in one hope, to have preaching that is filled by the Spirit, rooted in the Word, and we're able to actually go and do something with it, to go and apply it into our lives and see change. Secondly, personal habits. And that's why we've been preaching on this at the start of the year. Personal habits of grace, really connecting with God day after day in different ways, in the Word, in worship, in confession, in serving, in various ways, help to grow people's faith. And so you heard that in my story when my brother taught me to read the Bible and pray. Practical serving, that's what today is all about. So many people will say, when I went on this trip to do that mission thing, when I was serving in this area in kids' ministry, when I was doing that, God came and grew me and strengthened me and grew my faith. And so practical serving is a big catalyst that God uses to grow our faith. Another one is providential relationships. These we can't fully control, but what we can do is put ourselves in environments in which that's likely to happen. So the church is a great place to be. Small groups, a great place to be. Formation of discipleship groups, great place to be. Serving in different ministry teams, great place to be. Somehow God uses those, and God providentially interacts us with people, or we encounter people we may never have, and boom, our faith starts to grow as we walk with him. And then lastly, pivotal circumstances. This is the one we have no control over. God just does stuff by his goodness and grace, and he uses those moments, like that car accident I had when I was 16, to really grow our faith. And so you won't find these in the Bible, by the way. But what you will find is this is often the experience of those around you, and probably your own experience. And it's good to know that. Because if you desire to grow in your faith, if you desire to really trust God and see him at work in your life and see him flowing out of your life to others, these are good things to know. Because then we can put ourselves under practical, prophetic, Spirit-inspired preaching week after week after week. Then we can go and do personal habits, because we know that these things cumulatively lead to growing in faith. We can go and practice serving, which we'll get the opportunity to sign up for this morning. We can surround ourselves by those who love Jesus, and good chance we're going to be in relationships that will grow our faith. And then God's going to work through circumstances in our lives. And so why do I share all of this? Maybe it's helpful, maybe it's not. I felt that I must include it this morning, so that's why I did. But what it really shows is that hopefully this morning we get something really practical when we preach. We've been encouraged to go and practice personal habits of grace in our lives, and we're going to get an opportunity to sign up for practical serving. So right here this morning, there's three opportunities to say yes to Jesus and to grow our faith. Isn't that amazing? So hopefully this morning is helpful in various ways. So this morning I want to dive into kind of three bigger ideas. I'm going to be brief, so we can have opportunity for each person here who's serving to share briefly about their ministry area. But the first thing I want to address is why be on mission and serve others. Very briefly, three reasons from Scripture. There's many more, but just going to give three. Then I'd love to look at serving others and how it's grown my faith, just three quick examples. And then where can we serve in the life of One Hope? And we'll get into application and have opportunity here from each of these ministry areas. So here we go. Three reasons to be on mission and to serve others. First one is God gave us gifts. God gave us gifts. Are you here for the 1 Peter series last year? You'll remember this. 1 Peter 4. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. Can you get the scripture? It should be after that. Is it not? There we go. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. As good stewards of God's varied grace, whoever speaks as one who speaks the oracles of God, whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And so the truth of this scripture, which it teaches, is that each of us has been gifted uniquely, right? Every single one of us. Whether you feel like it or not, God has deposited in you gifts. Supernatural gifts from him. They may feel natural, like you do them. The fact that everyone else can't do them means that they're supernatural. God has given them to you specifically and uniquely to be able to do his work, to be able to serve one another, as the scripture speaks about. It separates them into speaking and serving gifts. I think they're all serving gifts, because speaking is just another way of serving. But gifts for the benefit of others. And as we do that, as we live that out, God gets the glory, that he may be glorified through Jesus Christ. A little tip here. Most often we discover these gifts. If you don't know what your gifts are, that's okay. Most often we discover them when we actually go and serve, while we're doing the things. We're like, oh, people are like, wow, look at that. And you're like, oh, wow, that's actually maybe a gift that God's given me. Let me practice that. Let me live in that. Let me experience that. And so what I want to encourage you this morning is sign up. Even if you don't know what your gifts are, that's okay. God has given you gifts. That the scripture teaches us. Go and serve and discover them along the way as you serve with others. It's a wonderful, delightful thing to do. We're made to serve others. And actually, when people talk about serving God, what are they practically, functionally doing? They're serving others. How do we serve God? We serve others with the power and strength that he gives us and following the scripture that he's given us. So that's how we practically serve God. The other way is sure. But mostly it looks like serving others. And this particular scripture is referencing the church. It's referencing those serving others who are among us in our local church community and in the broader church body globally. We're going to look in a minute where Jesus tells us to go beyond the church and serve those who aren't yet followers of Jesus, sacrificially, with our time, energy, effort, and money. And the difficult part of this scripture is that it actually says we dishonor God if we don't use our gifts. And there's the thing. But when we do, he gets the glory. And the wonderful thing is, as we do, that's how we actually show God's love and compassion. Guys who were on the streets last night at Fenster's, showing God's love and compassion is just going and being light, being love to those who didn't ask for it, but they're getting it. The thing about these gifts God's given us is they're not actually really for us. And they can't even really be enjoyed alone. And so what a waste, like getting a gift at Christmas and then like hoarding it. But actually what it is Nerf guns, 3 of them, to share with your siblings to go and have fun. But you're on your own, just like shooting a foot or aiming at targets, you know, it gets boring very quickly. And so that's the joy of the gifts that God's given us. They are enjoyed and best expressed amongst others and with one another. 1 Corinthians 12 teaches us that actually our gifts are given for the common good. The gifts God's given us are for the common good, for the good of his people. And so let's use them that way. One Hope. And I hear some of you may be asking, but I don't really want to. What if I don't want to serve? My heart's not really in it. I'm like, ah. Well, the good news is that's okay. The Bible knows you very well. Jesus knows you. And so what he says is, and the principle in Scripture is that most often our hearts actually follow our treasure, not the other way around. So wherever we put the treasure, now that scripture is referencing money, but the principle applies more broadly. Wherever we put a treasure, something that's valuable to us, our time, our energy, our money, our whatever it is, there our hearts follow. And so if your heart's a bit slow and it's like, I don't want to, it's okay. Just serve. Just say yes, and you'll be amazed what God does with your heart. That's how he moves it towards that thing or towards others that you're giving your time and energy to. Serve God wherever he's placed you. That's also my encouragement. Don't only serve God in One Hope. He's put you in other places. In fact, most of us are not employed by One Hope. 99.9% of you are not employed by One Hope to serve in One Hope, right? And so where are you employed by God? In the workplace, at school, at university, at home, wherever it is, God has placed you, and you can use your gifts for his glory wherever he's put you. And that's my encouragement. Serve others often. We're on mission and serving others because God has gifted us to do it. So Here's the encouragement. Serve others often. Okay, so that was number one. God's given us gifts. Secondly, and this really clinches it. If this doesn't clinch it, the next one's going to clinch it. Jesus commanded us to do it. Okay, so let me read the scripture first. Matthew 28:18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Don't let this die on you and get old," because it's familiar. Listen carefully. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and surely I'll be with you always to the very end of the age." Jesus commanded us to go and be on mission. Now, he's talking specifically going and spreading his message, his good news about who he is and what he's done to the ends of the earth. That's to people who don't yet know him. And maybe some who do to be encouraged. That's also great. But to those who don't yet know him, that's what the encouragement is here. So don't just serve others around you who are in this church, but serve others around you who are not yet in this church and even beyond this nation. And we have ministries in our church that do that, that focus on doing that. Jesus commanded us in no uncertain terms to go. Be about his mission. Andy Stanley's been quoted twice today already. Well, once, this is the second time. He says this lovely thing, which I love. He says, if anybody, or when the only person who predicted while they were still alive that they would die and rise from the dead again, when anybody does that and then they actually successfully put it off, I listen to that guy. I'm with that guy. And that guy's name's Jesus. And he's the only one who's ever done that. So when he says, we listen and we follow that guy, right? That's a silly tongue-in-cheek way, but it's actually so true. And so it's a laughing way to say, let that truth settle in your heart. And so when he says go, we go, right? And not because we have to, but because he's given us the joy and delight to go with him. And he says, behold, I'll be with you. Here's maybe a little tip. If you're not experiencing kind of a closeness and nearness to Jesus, maybe this is a tip for you. Go and serve others. Go and share the good news with others. Because he's promised he'll be with you as you do that. And maybe you'll experience more of the closeness and presence of Jesus. I speak to myself as I share this challenge this morning. We're made to be on mission with Jesus to advance his kingdom of light day by day, to say yes to love those who are unlovable and don't yet love us or may never love us, but to share his love and his goodness and the gospel with him, being his representatives wherever we go. And so why are we on mission with Jesus? Why do we serve him? Because he commanded us to do it. Serve others often. Thirdly, Jesus, and this really clinches it, Jesus did it himself. So he's not like one of those dictatorial leaders who's like, you ought to, you go and. He actually did it himself, and in the most extreme and ultimate and incredible way with his life, death, and resurrection. Matthew 20:28 says, just as the Son of Man, that's Jesus, another name for Jesus, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Jesus commanded us to serve others and go and be on mission with him, but he also modeled it with his whole life. From the beginning, he was here on earth, a man in the flesh, just like us, and he modeled it in the most profound way. In fact, the pinnacle of his mission here on earth to rescue his people and make them his own again was to go, as the scripture says, was to go and to give his life for us, to give up everything, not just a little bit of time, a little bit of money, a little bit of energy, no, to give up everything, his very life, to serve us, those who don't even love him. But yet, he would enable us to love him through his life, death, and resurrection. So Jesus was on mission, and he served others throughout his whole life. You can go and read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, four different accounts of the same guy's story here on earth. And you can see how he lived out serving others, giving his life away for the sake of others, unto death on the cross. And so he's our example, Jesus, and so much more. But he is our example of what it looks like to live in a thriving relationship with the Father, of what it looks like to grow and to be strong in faith and to fully trust God with that he is who he says he is and he'll do what he says he will do every single time. And so living outwardly towards others is the natural result of a life that is shaped by Christ, a life that is becoming more and more like Christ. In fact, that could be the summary or the goal of the Christian life, is to become more and more like Jesus day after day. That's one way you could say it, the goal of the Christian life. And that looks like holiness towards God and loving care and service towards others. And so the ultimate act of love and service for us was Jesus offering his life on the cross. And so really, he didn't just say, go and serve and I'll be with you. He said, go and serve and I'll be with him. I'm going to do it too. I'm going to show you how to do it so that you can also go and do it. And it's good. It's good for us. And it brings him glory. And so Jesus did it. So we're to be on God's mission and to serve others. And here's the encouragement, serve others often. Those are my three reasons right there, nice and brief. God's gifted us in order that we may go and serve others with those gifts. Jesus modeled or commanded us to go and serve others and take his message to the whole world. And thirdly, he modeled it. He showed us. He did it. He came and served, gave his life up for others. And so very briefly, serving others, how it's grown my faith. Three very brief examples. Firstly, in my family, saying yes every day, willingly and mostly joyfully, to serve my family is saying no to myself and my own fleshly desires in order that he would get glory. And I'd be able to use the gifts and role he's given me in this season to serve those he's put most close to me, most near to me, and surround me with. And so I've said yes to Jesus that. And how's it grown my faith? Well, in every way. In every way. Anyone who's done this or been busy with this task of loving on a family, you'll know. And you're all giggling right now. And it's grown my faith in the deepest way. Particularly Jen's long chronic health journey has been deeply humbling, deeply challenging, and deeply growing of our faith and trust in the Father. I do fear that if this journey were not ours to have, I would be a very different man and probably not that nice to be around. And so God's grown my faith tremendously through saying yes daily to serving those he's put closest to me in whatever way it requires. So grateful how that's grown my faith. And then secondly, through work. Through my work, I've had the privilege and opportunity to say yes to serving various ministries and so on, but particularly one comes to mind, the largest Christian ministry. And I've had the great privilege to say yes to being a sounding board to their leadership team, just bouncing stuff off me, and then be able to speak into their strategy and operations and how they can really work better to serve God through the ministry he's put in their hands to do. And God's grown my faith hugely in that, because I'm bringing like this little small piece, and just to be part of the big work that they're part of, what God's busy with all over the world and in the nations through this incredible ministry that I've had the chance to come and serve. And it's strengthened my faith. It's shown me, it's allowed me to see the bigness of our God and how incredible he is and what he is busy with in the world. And so just saying yes to that small opportunity has really grown and strengthened my faith in the work, well, in Jesus. And then thirdly, serving in One Hope, particularly serving in kids ministry has strengthened my faith. So for those who don't know, several years ago, I was employed to work at One Hope, serving the kids ministry. I'd never been in a kids ministry in my life. Didn't grow up in the church, got saved when I was 16. And that was the grace of Jesus, because I could then do it a different way. But the point is, you learn a lot when you don't know, right? And so, but what's really, how God's really challenged and grown my faith in saying yes to serving in kids ministry is my faith has become so much more childlike. Like just to trust Jesus, take him at his word and just say yes. And to be filled with more joy and curiosity in the world and those things that he's put around me. It's really challenged my belief in certain doctrines. Can you explain what you believe about that to a five-year-old? Challenge you. It's not easy. If you can, then you know you really, really get it. And it's really, really deep in your heart. And so that was challenged week after week as I served in this church in kids ministry. And I've had the privilege of doing that ongoingly. But saying yes to that simple opportunity to just show up on a Sunday to bring a message, to love, to pray, has strengthened and grown my faith tremendously. And so I want to encourage us all to say yes to serving others. And in doing that, we're serving God and bringing him glory and using the gifts he's given us to serve others. And so serve others often is the encouragement from this morning. And so it would be amiss not to allow the opportunity for a sign-up Sunday off the back of a message like this, but to actually go and serve others and have the opportunity to sign up with I think there are 13 or 12 ministries here this morning. There are many more in the life of One Hope. There's a lot going on in One Hope. So there's an opportunity for everyone to serve, no matter how God's gifted you or how he's made you or the time availability you have, there's opportunity to serve. There are just 13 here this morning. And so I wanted to briefly touch on each of these ministries. I'll mention them. You'll see them here, but how they've blessed me. So kids ministry, so grateful to them for investing in my children's lives. Just saw a little Felicity, my four-year-old, starting to pray beautiful prayers a month ago. And I know a lot of those are shaped by the narrative that she gets here at kids ministry week on week. Recon, love you guys. Love high schoolers. The most complicated time of everyone's life. And just love how you guys go and pour in week after week, Friday after Friday, into high schoolers' lives. Worship, you guys are amazing. We love you. Just seeing strength in this ministry, particularly in the last 2 years, growing, serving us on a Sunday, and we know the work you guys put in behind the scenes. Love you. Thank you. You bless us so much. Events, we were at an amazing leaders event last Saturday, and just how that was pulled together, and we were all who weren't involved, we were so blessed, and you got there, and it's arrived, and it's beautiful, and there's great food, and there's a great atmosphere, and it just enables you to really connect with Jesus. Thank you. Events. Media. You guys are amazing. I presume media also means slides and stuff, right? Am I right? Yes. Love you guys. I'm so grateful to Christo, who put together the slide template so we can have things coherent and make sense and look nice on the screen, and so much more than that, and all our media that goes out from One Hope. Sounds, love you guys. Know how challenging it is. You don't get any recognition until something goes wrong, then people know who you are and are cross with you. But we love you. You're amazing, and thank you that you're here every week doing a great job. Streaming, I'm so grateful to you guys. I've been in the mom's room for many weeks now, and very grateful to the streaming team. And I get to go and watch my sermons afterwards and self-crit. I'm very grateful for that, and hopefully improve every week. Projection, so grateful to you guys. You enable us to sing and actually know the songs. Many who come here don't know these songs that we sing. Many of us don't know them. We get to see them on the screen. We get to follow along with what's going on and really be able to follow together. So grateful to you guys. Gospel Advance, where's that? Local. That's what we call local missions, reaching out to those in our community with the love of Jesus. So grateful for this ministry. Was involved with Alpha for many years, and you guys are just doing amazing, amazing stuff. Many of you sit here as lucky, happy beneficiaries of the work of the local Gospel Advance team that's been intentional to share Jesus with you and his love. And so you're the happy beneficiaries and sit here this morning. Love you guys. Office admin. The fact that I can, well, there's lots of you in office admin. The fact that I can message Karen any time of the day or night, probably my bad, and get a good response on what needs to happen at church. So grateful to you, Karen, and to the whole team that supports her. You guys are amazing. You really make stuff happen behind the scenes. Serve Steely's. Had the privilege of being part of setting up this ministry many years ago. Rob's and the team, you guys do the best work. You are amazing. The poor and the marginalized are blessed in our community through this church because of this ministry. So thank you so much. It's particularly on God's heart that we should serve the poor and the marginalized. And so there's the opportunity to go and do that in really meaningful, helpful, non-hurting kind of ways. Sunday setup. You guys are awesome. The fact that we come here every Sunday and everything's set up, and only 3% of us need to do the setting up each Sunday. Very grateful to those guys and to the team for setting up. It really creates an environment in which we can come and worship God. And then lastly, welcoming. That is the front door of our Sunday meeting right there, those people who stand there. Anyone who's come here for the first time recently, you'll know, well, that's the team you meet first, right? And immediately sets the tone of, hey, do I feel welcome here? Or is this like, oh, stranger danger? And so you guys are amazing. Welcoming team, we love you. Some people are very gifted at welcoming. And please go and be on that team and just make everyone feel welcome, a sense of warm and welcome. That's one of our core values. Everyone is welcome here. Love you guys, and very excited to see more people serving in the church through these different ministries.